People walking their dogs and jumping on top.
There's a lot of people on a beach.
Yes.
On Kennedy. You're past the yacht coast guard?
So at 6:32, we're gonna call the judiciary law enforcement meeting order. It's Wednesday, June 10th, 2015. Roll call, please.
Dan Esposito. Anita Johnson. Anita Johnson. Boyd Frederick.
Here.
David Arrington.
Here.
Ronald Johnson.
Here.
Leah Blau.
Here.
John Poole.
Here.
Sage Holloway.
Here.
Rihanna Reike.
The records show that Supervisor Anita Johnson had called me and she's excused. 6:32, citizen comments. Non-citizen comments are closed. 6:32, supervisor comments. Any supervisors have any comments at this time? So I'll speak at once. No surprise. 6:33, chairman comments. I have a couple. Sage, welcome to our committee. If you have any questions, please feel free. We encourage your participation. So welcome. Obviously, the other youth and governor is not here today, but we'll say the same for her. Glad to have you aboard.
Thank you.
So, I don't think all the supervisors got the email from Ted Halsey, so if we can resend it tomorrow.
Is this a new one that you just sent today?
Yes, this afternoon.
Chairman and Chairman Rose for tomorrow night's meeting, just this afternoon, after you give you the data.
Okay.
So if it could be sent, yeah. So basically, it states that we're at 187.62, roughly.
67
inmates. Obviously, down from our 195 number. So I just wanted to make the committee aware of that. But I do appreciate you keeping us in the loop on that. This is the best communication and information we've gotten, you know what I mean, on these numbers in a long time. So I do appreciate that. So moving along, 6:34, approval of the minutes of May 13, 2015.
Motion to approve.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Oh, okay. Approved by Supervisor Boyd Frederick. I'm looking at John. Seconded by Supervisor Blau. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That is approved. 6:34, moving on, we have a discussion regarding the assignment of work crew inmates. You can have a seat at the head of the table, please.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Marsh. I thought I'd know more faces here tonight, but I don't. Been on the Sheriff's Department for about 23 years. Been working on the work crew, a good portion of that either as a fill-in or full-time. So I understand you guys have had some discussion on the lack of workers.
Yeah, here's where the issue came up. The Director of Public Works had talked to one of our supervisors on the committee and stated there was some concern that the work crew inmates were used in the public parks and so on and so forth, things like that. And obviously it's down in numbers of worker inmates due to ankle monitoring, due to not enough in the pool, due to obviously the county gets the inmates first and whatever's left over.
Yeah.
So our concern with being on this committee is this. Is this a new problem? Is it something that, obviously, it's supply and demand? I mean, we understand that. So, I guess an overview of quick overview. You know, you don't have to beat it to death. To give the supervisors and myself a good overview of what's really going on here.
Okay, the work crew has several different areas that we work with. We work with finding costs where people work tickets off from home. They don't have to serve the jail time, they can work the tickets off. We have people that work without Huber inside the facility. We have people that work that have Huber status that don't have a job. We put them at nonprofit organizations, we put them at county parks, we put them wherever we can to fill positions. We have in the past used family court commitments. This is an issue. It was determined that family court commitments are not serving a sentence in the Kenosha County Jail. They're committed to the Kenosha County Jail. And under the state statute that governs the ability to earn good time through a work crew program, you have to be sentenced to a facility. So all these years we've been using them, and now it's come to light that we can't. We primarily ran the inside of the jail, approximately 32 workers. Probably, I would say, one-third to three-quarters were always family court people. When we lost that, we had to draw our people from the outside that had Huber status to the inside. That was a big hit. Ankle monitoring has touched us some, but we also have people on ankle monitor working on the work crew from home. We've got about five of them right now participating.
I guess there was an issue that was raised that the judges are putting people more in programs than in jail. So that's affected us quite a bit?
The other side that's affected us is about 5 or 6 years ago, they changed the fourth offense OWI to a felony. And majority of those people go to prison. The other thing that they've put in on the OWIs is that the second and third offenses, now they can use probation and parole on an ankle monitor, so they're getting sentenced to a lesser amount of time. Instead of getting a 9-month sentence and me being able to work with them, they might get a 15 to a 45 day sentence, and then they go on a monitor through probation and parole. And we've lost those people. Those are some of my best workers, our family court people and the OWIs. Least amount of problems from them. So all of that has hit the program pretty hard. We've been suffering from the OWIs for, like I say, about the past 5 years, and we just cut back and cut our numbers back and run a little short at sites. But it was actually when the family court commitments got taken away from us that was a big hit. Now, we are in discussion with the judges with an idea that I came up with to modify their sentences. Since they're committed, they don't fall under any state statute as far as how much time they have to earn or anything like that. So one of the things that I suggested is we often see for family court, we see 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, or 180-day commitments for noncompliance. My suggestion to them was, if on a 30-day, if we can work them 20, get 20 physical working days out of them, the judges are considering staying the rest of their sentence. And then they can always bring them back on it if they don't comply. 180-day sentence are the ones that we would like to see. And those would be 120 working days. It takes about a week to get somebody onto the program because they have to be cleared through our medical staff. They have to be classified. And then we have to have an opening to place them. So once we get that in place, I'm sure that we're going to work something out with the courts. And we can get those family court people back in, because I don't know if this is going to be retroactive or if it's just going to start the day that they say it starts. If it's retroactive, it'll help us a lot. Things will go a lot quicker. If it starts the day that they approve it, it's going to take a few months for it to catch up. So that's kind of where we're at.
Any supervisors have any questions? I think it's, I commend you, I appreciate thinking outside the box there, because it seems like it's become a problem. You know what I mean? I mean, use this workforce or that we had, and that those numbers have dwindled. And I would assume the family court thing is that basically child support, things like that?
Yeah, it's non-payment of child support, non-compliance. And it takes them a long time to get them locked up. Okay. A lot of court hearings. So child support isn't real happy to see them get out early.
Yeah.
But the judges seem to think that it's better to have them work than to sit and play dominoes and watch TV all day.
Well, I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, Supervisor Ferguson?
Yeah. Mr. Arbit, who has actually done a spreadsheet showing how much they were using the work crew and how much they're missing it this year. I don't know if you've had a chance to.
What agency was that?
It was, Gulf. It's who Ray Arbit's Public Works Director, but
County Engineer, yeah.
How much they're missing it right now.
I can imagine. We, with a max crew, we have six on each crew, six members on each crew, one for Brightondale, one for Petrifying Springs. That would be maxed out. The last couple of years we've been running with four on each crew, just because of the numbers being down because of the OWIs, like I said. So, I can see where they're suffering a lot. or the wood lines grow up and the sand traps don't get groomed and, you know. So you suffer on one end or the other.
I know. It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I have done every day. I look at what will it take to get at least one county park going. I actually had a point where I had three people on my waiting list. And I thought I wanted to start a park. And then I had somebody in the kitchen get in trouble and another one quit. And I think somebody was released. And before you knew it, I had to pull all three of those people and put them inside and work. We used to run with a waiting list. It was quite long. There's no such thing right now.
And that's, do we have to attribute that to the sign of the times?
All of these things calculated together, I would say, is a sign of the times.
Yeah. I mean, because we don't, I mean, I guess I'm thinking perspectives-wise, there's going to be no more waiting lists. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Actually, the family court people right now, another thing that we implemented was we said, you know what, the family court don't have to give them a good time. We'll give them an opportunity to work. Because some of them were saying, I don't care if I get any good time. I just want to get out of the dorm and work. I commend those people. We've got about 5 volunteers right now. And that's helping us. We'd actually be short and in the negative, even on the inside workers, if we didn't have those volunteers. So
it's pretty interesting. It's kind of a big to-do program to keep everything kind of working.
You know what I mean? Doing it long enough to work secondhand.
But you know what I mean? You wouldn't think. Well, I mean, I appreciate this explanation because I didn't really quite understand the, you know, the ins and outs of how things are working that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. And the other supervisor did either. So, Sage, do you have anything? No? Any other supervisor, any questions? I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
Moving on at 6:43. Resolution from the Division of Personal Services request to approve the appointment of Carl Holborn to the Kenosha County Civil Service Commission. Mr. Riedel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Carl Holborn is, I believe, proposing to begin his third term on the Civil Service Commission. He is an attorney, born and raised in Kenosha, works in Milwaukee, and he has been a valuable member of the Civil Service Commission. You likely will learn a lot more about Civil Service Commission in about 10 minutes. So we can fill you in on what they do and how they do it. But we respectfully request that you reapprove Carl for another term on the CSC.
Any supervisor, any questions or comments?
Yeah, I've known Carl for a long time, and he's an outstanding member of that committee.
Have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Poole. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
You're welcome.
6:45. We have a resolution from the Division of Personal Services, Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, to approve changes in the 2015 county budget to affect the changes necessary for the sheriff to provide law enforcement services to the village of Silver Lake. Mr. Riedel, Chief Deputy, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's a big night.
It is. We're rocking and rolling.
This is big stuff. I live in Silver Lake, so it's amazing.
G-Sage, your first meeting. They get better.
This is a resolution brought by the Sheriff's Department and Personnel Services. And although they're not here, was Corporation Council was heavily involved with this. To take over policing services for the village of Silver Lake. It's been in discussion for 2-3 months, trying to get all the loose ends tied up, all the facts together, what we're going to have to do, what we don't need to do, the contract. In a packet that you received, it has a resolution that was originally prepared on May 15th for the board. That was put on hold because the Silver Lake board wasn't able to meet. They had a change over, and there were some issues out there, but everything was finally approved. So even before we start, there's a couple of changes on this resolution, on the original, and that all they are numbers that we have to change. Because this packet was put together a while ago, This will be going before the board on June 16th instead of May 19th, and I changed that on the original. The patrol services in the village of Silver Lake for the sheriff's department will start on June 17th instead of June 1st. And part of this resolution, which according to state statutes, if a sheriff of the county is in the process of taking over an existing department, the sheriff must do all they can do to bring on those existing personnel. And Mr. Riedel had a very important part of that with the Civil Service Commission, and originally there was 5, and now there's 4. So basically, at least for the deputies, I'll let Mr. Riedel cover that. The contract that we have for Silver Lake was worked out. It's just like we have with Bristol and Paddock Lake. They actually pay for the services provided. They pay for the staff that we put out there. We don't charge for the administrative costs because they already pay taxes in the county for the sheriff's department services. So we actually charge them for what it costs us to do the patrol services. They'll have 2 shifts, and there'll be a deputy on each shift. Those people have already been selected. The squad car has already been prepared. We have a place out in Silver Lake, and they use their garage and their office space to store that. And the squads will, deputies will start out there, and that's where they'll do it. There's refinements going on as we go along with this. We're not doing their water patrol at this point. They've chosen to do their own water patrol because it's a little bit more, a little bit least expensive for them if we would do it. They have some part-time officers. That may change next year. We don't know. The agreement is for a year and a half. The rest of this year, 2015, and all of 2016. And then we'll go ahead and look at a new agreement for 2017, just like we do for the village of Bristol and the village of Paddock Lake.
It's always 2 years?
It's only 1 year, actually. They wanted it for a year and a half. The village was a little leery because they didn't know what was going on. They've had a village department for a long time. And so it took a lot of talking. The sheriff was there on many meetings, many occasions, and we brought staff out there. And we talked to them, and it was an interesting discussion many times to try to come to this agreement, but it finally worked out, all for the good. It's all good now. This resolution basically is seeking to bring these officers on and expand our department by 3 FTEs, because that's what we need to provide these services. I'll let Mr. Riedel talk about the Civil Service Commission part. How this went about.
There are several steps to absorbing these folks, as the chief deputy pointed out. The sheriff is obligated to make every reasonable effort to hire people who were displaced by this action. So we are going to hire 4 of the Silver Lake deputies. In order to do this, the first thing that has to happen is the board needs to give us 3 new positions in the budget to cover the work that the Sheriff's Department will be doing in Silver Lake. And so part of the resolution says that you are expanding the budget to include 3 more deputy sheriff jobs. Now there are a couple of vacancies as well in the Sheriff's Department, and so we will use the 4th hire from Silver Lake to fill in for those. So that's step number 1. Step number 2 then is to approach the union. We still have a union in the Sheriff's Department. And the union has to agree to amend the contract and allow these people to come in somewhat of an expedited fashion. They don't start at the first step. They are certified and honest-to-God card-carrying police officers. And so some of the processes that a new employee would go through in the union, we are seeking to waive. And so you will see in your packet that there is an agreement that I have signed with a representative of the union that allows us to bring them in at their years of service in Silver Lake. So if you were a 3-year cop in Silver Lake, you're a 3-year cop for the purpose of wages and benefits with Kenosha County. If you are a part-time, and I believe we have 2 of those coming on board, you get 60% of your years of service. So they were 24 hours a week, that's 60%. And that's how we're going to absorb them. The third part that you are asked to take action on is to amend the civil service ordinance to allow the county then to expedite the hiring. The civil service ordinance are the rules by which we hire deputy sheriffs and promote deputy sheriffs through the organization. And a significant part of that is the Civil Service Commission, and it is the commission's responsibility to actually do the hiring of all of our deputy sheriffs, and then approve the process by which we promote. I am the chief examiner for county government in this role, but they do all the voting. I just kind of coordinate the events, but they do the voting. And there are processes involved, like, you know, having a general search. There are some tests that we have prior to sending them off to school to get certified if they're not. We're looking to waive that so that we can apply by the state law and get them here and then, you know, start protecting Silver Lake with deputy sheriffs. So we're doing actually 4 points. The first is a background check. The second is what we call a job trait analysis, which is a psychological evaluation to find out if these folks are have the emotional and mental makeup to be police officers. They are already certified, so we know that they have passed kind of the more practical parts of this. They have met with the Civil Service Commission. They have been interviewed by them, and 4 of them have been passed on to the hiring stage. And then finally, the last step was the physical. They have to pass that. And if everything goes well on the 17th, the morning after the board takes action, they will be sworn in as deputies of the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department.
To add to that, they have to go through an FTO program like all of our other new recruits. Even though they may have police experience, they've come out of the village, and they've got to go to an FTO program, which they didn't really have the opportunity to do with the village of Silver Lake. And that's 80 working days, and then they're all on a year's probation. So they've got pretty much the same basic rules that if they don't make it, they don't make it. We're hoping they all do. We think they will. Those officers will not be patrolling Silver Lake to begin with. They will be using with the existing deputy sheriffs that we have because they're just too new. Down the line, in rotation, in seniority, as they move up, they may be patrolling back in Silver Lake, depending on who gets placed out there. But right now, we'll be picking up and patrolling with our own officers starting June 17th. The 3 FTEs are what we need to expand our department to make sure we always have enough to do that contract.
Okay, I guess my question is kind of twofold. We're getting paid to do this from Silver Lake. What is the expense to the taxpayer? Any? I mean, to do this? I mean, is this going to cost the taxpayer more because we're expanding out? I mean, these are just fair questions, I think, that are going to be asked, not by me, but maybe another county board supervisor.
Sure. The officers, their full salary, benefits, everything are paid by the village of Silver Lake. The administrative costs, like we talked about before, are already covered through their property taxes in Kenosha County. So it's not costing them anymore. Part of this resolution is they had ordered a brand new squad car, and we're taking possession of that, but we'll reduce their contract by the price of that car, so we'll absorb that cost. No, the expenses aren't anymore.
Yes.
That they cover those particular costs.
And so what happens now in a year and a half when, if this doesn't work and it goes south, where are we at then?
If we lose the contract and we no longer patrol, then we also lose the positions. That's the same with Paddock Lake and the same with the village of Bristol.
Right. So the 3 that you're asking for, they won't stay, they'll be gone.
We'll have to lose 3 positions.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's
what
the reality.
Exactly.
Wouldn't necessarily be them.
No.
Yeah, I get it.
If there were vacancies, we just wouldn't fill.
Yeah.
We'd be down 3 positions.
As a taxpayer in Silver Lake, I believe the intent of the board is to, and I'm not speaking for the board, I'm only speaking for the guy that writes the check for my house.
Yeah.
It is a lower expense for the village to have the sheriff. And then I would argue a far better service only because we all know that the sheriff's department is cutting edge on everything it does. So,
one thing that the committee doesn't realize, in all the years that Silver Lake has had their department, the sheriff's department has always handled their major calls. We have always handled their investigations, major investigations. We've covered the shifts. They couldn't supply a 24-hour shift. We would cover those shifts. We even dispatched for Silver Lake. So the transition is very, very seamless. It's just a matter of us taking the rest of it in. So we've done this for years. Our officers are very familiar with the village. We don't see any real issues. And if they ask down the line whether we should take over their water patrol, we'll work that out too. They want us to do that by themselves. So, village officers that are assigned to any village, the citations they write, for the village stays in the village. That's part of the agreement. That's written by the squads that are assigned to that village. If it's a district squad that comes in, those citations stay with the county. But any village squad that's assigned there, those, whatever the revenues at that stays with the village. And they also run their own municipal court.
So are they going, excuse me, are they going, are these squads going to be county squads now, or are they still going to say the village of Silver Lake?
They're sheriff's department squads, but they're just labeled village of Silver Lake. We have village of Paddock Lake and village of Bristol. But they are owned by the sheriff's department. And if that squad breaks down, we just substitute another regular sheriff's squad for that until that squad gets there.
And was I correct in hearing that the officers that are out there now more than likely won't be out there because somebody with better, with more seniority potentially will be out there? They're going to get put in the rotation?
Down the line, they probably will.
Correct.
But right now,
not initially,
because of seniority and whatever, and shifts, we'll be running with the officers that are in the department.
It's important for these folks to know about the whole rest. Silver Lake is this little tiny island, and we got a big old county out there that they have to learn how to get around.
Sure.
So that'll be a real important part of their training.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. So, right, Fred, you guys?
I have a couple of things. It says we're talking three FTEs, but yet in the, it's going up from 76 to 77.74, you know, with the sheriff's book. Is that just for this year, or does that go up next?
Since we're only funding them for 6 months and a couple of weeks, that's not a full FTE at 1.0. They're partial FTEs just to finish out the year. Mm-hmm. Come next year, they would be full numbers.
Okay,
so
that's,
you're going to have a percentage here because we're just funding half the year.
Okay. That's what I was. That's what I was wondering if that was.
And the dollars for just that many hours and the benefits, yeah.
And one other thing, it says, talks about a lot about an undersheriff in here. He could do that. Is there any plans for that, or?
Civil service. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean in the state statute?
Yeah.
Well, the state statute still read undersheriffs. Counties have an option to eliminate undersheriffs and go to chief deputy positions.
Okay.
And Kenosha did that back in 1967.
Okay.
And the difference being undersheriff is political appointment versus the chief deputies, which is a tested position.
Okay. I would
double check. Yeah, it's, they have never changed, they never added chief deputy for some reason, so I don't know why.
Okay, that just, when I saw the language, I'm like, okay. It says hours of service, it's not a full 24?
No, they didn't, they chose not to have full 24-hour coverage, and they can do that because they're under 5,000.
Okay.
They chose two shifts work like Bristol and Paddock Lake. Once a village becomes incorporated, and if they're over 5,000 or more, then they're required by the state to have 24-hour coverage. And they can do that two ways. They can hire their own police department, or they can contract with the existing sheriff's department or another police agency. And but these villages are not, they're not even required to be incorporated, not even required to have their own department. But they have chosen to do that. So they just want two shifts. And they just, it's a little bit more personalized service because we're in there all the time versus a district squad that will pass through and do something else.
And one last thing is when I saw it, they can terminate it, giving us 6 months notice, basically. My only concern is that it would end up sometime, they could do this in February, and it would not be around budget time. And we sort of get caught in the middle of this. Do you see any reason of concern for that, or?
No, we've been contracting with Paddock Lake since 1981, and that was an existing department when we took that over. And there's no reason why they would do this unless something catastrophic happened in the village where they couldn't pay anymore. But we don't see that happening at all. These positions will pretty well stay locked in. These villages want their police departments, and they want people assigned there as more of a user-friendly local police, and we can see that. We can see that. So, no, we don't anticipate that ever happening, Supervisor Friedrich. But if it did, you know, we'd make the adjustment how we had to.
Right.
But we really don't see that.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
Any other supervisors have any questions? Being a taxpayer in Silver Lake, or Mr. Reed, are kind of.
I spoke in favor of it when the former sheriff came to Silver Lake several years ago. Supervisor Poole lives in Paddock Lake, I believe, and has experienced the benefit of this. The one thing about the Silver Lake Board is it was, it turned over 50% about 20 minutes before we were supposed to take this thing over. And so it really has a whole new board, really. And I have met with the president of the board, and he is 100% in favor of the new president. And it's just a good thing for the village. Some of our services, and Supervisor Poole could speak to this too. Grandpas used to work at the sheriff's department, then the dad did, then the son did, then the son did. All of that volunteering and stuff like that is no longer part of life in a village our size. I don't know about yours, but we have trouble staffing fire departments, we have trouble staffing rescue, and the paper's not here, right? The wave of the future has got to be sharing resources.
Oh, sure.
And this is just the first step, hopefully, in a lot
of cost sharing, basically.
Yeah. It saves money. It gets better protection for the village residents. It sounds like I'm running for something. I'm really not.
It would be good.
But it does. It's just. It was a good idea 10 years ago when I went to the village board. It's a good idea now.
One thing I want to close with, Mr. Chairman, is when we do things like this, most of the time, and he did put a lot of work and effort into the sheriff and give him a lot of credit, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work. And just so you know, that the personnel office put in a ton of effort for us to get this thing rolling and moving. Back here, Nancy Otis, our fiscal services manager, we had to take sharp objects out of her office because she was trying to cut herself. But she did a lot of extra work, Captain Hallisey and her, in getting this contract together and getting this all working. And Captain Weicker, who's sitting in the back row, is the one being responsible for the logistics, pulling this off and making this work. He's our captain of field operations. So to go back, if it falls apart in February, that's the guy right there. And we'll be back with him.
Oh, we know his face.
But there's a lot of behind-the-scenes effort, that, and I know you know that, but they never really get the recognition they deserve. Everybody, including Mr. Riedel, his staff, and the sheriff's staff, did a lot of effort to make this come off. And there was a lot of heartache, but it came to fruition. So.
Supervisor Poole?
Yeah, and you said about the Civil Service Commission were amending the ordinance, or did they?
The Civil Service Commission can't amend the ordinance, you have to. Okay. Part of the resolution, there's a whereas and a be it resolved in there where you allow us to expedite the process.
Oh, I didn't see that. Do you know what page that was on? Or?
It should be on page one, I believe.
Resolution page one.
Okay, it's on page two of three. Okay, I see it now.
I'm sorry. The board, the ordinance is passed by the board.
Okay, so that would waive the civil service ordinance and the interviews with the Civil Service Commission, the job trade analysis, and the medical evaluation.
Those stay in. It's the rest of the
retaining. Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
The thing that we amended was they didn't have to take the written test or the oral interviews for the MIAs because they weren't on any established list. They came kind of like out of left field, and we had to try to bring them on. But everything else, they had to comply with.
So we have a list, and we have to go in order of the list, and we apply points for being a veteran. And there are laws which govern how you have the list. Well, they're not on the list. And so, and we have corp counsel on this, so we didn't go rogue on this thing. They agreed that we could waive the test, the written test, and any advantage on the list, and then what we call the multiple interview assessment.
Jen Kopp from the Corps Office put a lot of effort into this too, so give her a lot of credit.
Okay, so you're just waiving the written test and the interview part then?
Yeah, we would argue that the four most important things they're going through.
Right.
Okay. Nope.
Any other questions? Supervisors, any questions?
Motion to approve.
I have a motion approved by Supervisor Poole.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Blau. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's approved. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
You bet. Thank you. 706, number 10, we have a resolution from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. First one is the FY 2015 Law Enforcement Justice Assistance Grant, J. Want to do all these I'll read them all off. Organized crime, task force, strategic initiative, funding for overtime and activity control license, Country Thunder East LLC. First one, the JAG.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. The first resolution is to accept $11,598 of grant funds offered through the Bureau of Justice Assistance Grant. This is a grant that we cooperate with the city of Kenosha, that where we are able to share this grant amount. The city of Kenosha has funded about $28,000 worth of this, and we are able to receive $11,598 through this Justice Assistance Grant program. With this money, we are looking to purchase additional tasers. The amount is listed in the resolution to replace existing out-of-date expired tasers and just to beef up our, as we just passed, we're having more deputies on the road, so we're going to have to beef up our equipment to follow. This is federal money through the Bureau of Justice.
Any questions for Captain Halsey?
No, it was just, I was reading this as going conductive energy devices. And I'm like, what's that?
A conducting energy device must be a taser, I would assume.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Also known as?
There's all kinds of terms for it. Taser is the most commonly known because that's the main brand. It's right. Like Kleenex. It's a facial mm-hmm. tissue, but it's Kleenex. Somebody knows it as a Kleenex. It's the same thing. But it's called an electronic control device or conductive device. Or mm-hmm.
Sage, anything? Any comments?
Sure.
No. Any other discussion? To that, can I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Supervisor Arrington, second by Supervisor Poole. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It is approved. Moving on to the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Funding for Overtime.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another federal grant money that we're requesting approval to accept $25,000 funding from the Federal Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. It's called the OSADEF grant. This funding would be over a period of January 21st of this year already. We're already spent some dollars in this arena through to the end of September to reimburse for overtime incurred by our department and the police department for our special operations, the drug unit, tactical response team, organized crime, the drug enforcement task force application. The request for us to receive in this $25,000 grant from the feds.
Any questions, comments from various supervisors? Supervisor Johnson?
Well, I just made a move through.
I got a quick question. Is this a new grant?
We've had this for a couple of years, but yeah. It's just a different...
They've tried to change the name of it, or is it... No? Or just seem new?
There's a CDAW grant, and there's other grants with different acronyms.
Yeah. Okay. Must have been the acronym. Motion approved by Supervisor Johnson. Second?
Second.
Supervisor Arrington, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It is approved. Moving on, we have the activity control license, Country Thunder East LLC. Thank you, Captain. Captain Leichter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I wrote you a memo earlier that was submitted with this kind of outline. And outlining this year's event, the Country Thunder, I did put the wrong date on there.
Is that in the budget? No.
It is 2015. I had 2014 on there. Dyslexia kicking in. A couple things of note. The ownership is obviously the same as last year. We had a big changeover last year, which we had to amend some of the licensing, et cetera. That is in place now and shouldn't change in the near future. The liquor license Randall does hold until the beginning of July, which they are intending to renew, which is always the last hurdle of their permitting. Zoning and planning is satisfied with the requirements of the grounds and that they will be meeting those requirements as they normally do. But we did anticipate an increase in both the campgrounds and the attendance, if you noted in paragraph 3 of my memo. They're adding 328 additional campsites. So with that, in response to some of the extra people that will be attending on a daily basis, I opted to move their bond requirement up a little bit so we could staff more personnel out there. That was not a problem for them. I did get confirmation this afternoon that they believe that the check is even in the mail, but we haven't received it yet. So I anticipate getting that in the near future, and I will email you as soon as we get those results that they have posted that money. We're going to add at least four deputies to the mix out there. Twin Lakes has graciously allowed us this year to use their facilities. So in the event we have to make arrests, et cetera, we have a place to take them and hold them for temporarily until we can bring them down here. Most of the rest of it is going to be the same as last year with the Randall Farms subdivision, the problems we had with the parking. We'll do the same as we did last year, which was pretty effective, except for a few of the residents in there that actually want to go to the event and let people park in and amongst their property. And that's for the locals to work out, but we had no problems with that area as well. So we have no objections this year to anything that they're doing. It seems to be going as planned. It's a little bit later than last year, and I don't know if we'll be able to break their habit because of the April event that they have out in Arizona. They have the same Country Thunder in April in Arizona, which keeps them busy during the time that we want them to start applying for the permits here. And for some odd reason, they still don't have any type of full-time agent locally that can handle all that for them. It hasn't been a big problem, with the exception it's we are badgering them to get their stuff filed. And that it gets done when they hear from us, but they have to hear from us.
Any questions for Kevin White? Can I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Approved by Supervisor Blau, seconded by Supervisor Arrington. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That is approved. Thank you very much. Moving on, it is 7:13, and we have Chris County Sheriff's Department memo to the Finance Committee requesting authorization to repurpose capital funds to purchase tactical duty rifles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That's a healthy.
Initially, we thought this was going to need a resolution. However, Finance Committee and Nancy have decided or figured it out that we just need a memo with the Finance Committee. But for our purposes here at this committee, we want to let you know what's going on. Last year, $33,000 was bonded into this year's budget to purchase firearms. We have $8,500 of that. Our bid came in lower for our new pistols that was budgeted for. And we have existing 1970s vintage rifles that are currently in service that are woefully beyond their capabilities. We're requesting $8,500 of that surplus bonded funds to be reallocated to purchase rifles for this year for an existing need.
Any questions for any supervisors?
Yeah, are these gas or piston carbines?
Colt AR-15s is the models. Captain
gas.
Weicker's a bigger
gas.
He's a bigger guy
gas
than that. Operating.
They're Vietnam vintage.
Okay. So. No, I mean the new ones you're buying.
Oh, the new ones? Also gas.
Okay, because I've heard that the short barrels aren't as reliable with it.
No, that's been corrected by Colt. There was some issues with the weight of the recoil spring in the buffer
and right
now that they've got that correction, they've been very reliable. We have these actual weapons in service already. We're just asking for additional ones, and they've been very good.
Okay. That's all I have.
I don't think we need a motion or anything, so any questions for Cito?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. 7:15, any other business filed by law? I don't have any. 7:16, can I move to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Supervisor, a little second by Supervisor. Those in favor?
Aye.
For adjourn, thank you very much.
Tracking down the original.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.